Our text is found in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we shall read verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Amen. In this text and in this chapter, we learn something about the growth of the church. And that is surely something we all desire to see and indeed pray for. That the church of Jesus Christ would flourish in our land. And that is happening in the world. And it must happen, because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King and head of the church, said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The I will of Christ. And who can stand against that? That's something to hold on to in our day, a day of small things. Easy to be discouraged in the work of the gospel, to be cast down when we seem to see so little fruit. But to remember the word of God and the one who is on the throne and the one who is accomplishing his purpose to the ends of the earth, so much of it hidden from our view, and even perhaps in our own land, the Lord doing much that we cannot see or apprehend. And the Lord perhaps working even now in preparation to grant greater blessing in time to come. The church at Corinth grew. That's evident from Paul's epistle. And from our chapter, what it declares in our text, it grows in the same way today. There is a labor on the part of men, those whom the Lord has appointed to a certain work, but above and beyond that, there is God's work, his mighty work, his gracious work in the souls of men. That's our hope and that's our confidence. And we may say at the outset, despite what many seem to believe today, that the church grows in the same way now as it did in the time of the apostle. Because God has ordained it thus. And if people will try different schemes today and different methods, may perhaps for a time seem to be productive, but the Lord is the one who gives the command and we must heed it, we must obey it. If we do not, then in the end, what may appear to be growth and fruitfulness will turn out to be not of the Lord. Of men merely. And do we not have that even in our chapter? The day shall declare it, says Paul. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now when the fire burns, it will consume many things, most things. Only a few things will survive the burning of a fire. We learn of wood, hay, and stubble. These things will be burnt up. And much of the visible church might be described in that way, wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones. These things will come through the fire. These things are of God and His grace. These are the things we desire to see. A church after that fashion. God's work. Well, let us look at our text with the Lord's help. And notice, first of all, the nature of the church. We read in our text of planting and watering and increasing. And these terms tell us a certain thing, an important thing. They're terms which are taken from cultivation. And we note in verse 9 that Paul says, ye are God's husbandry, as if to enforce the point. And we're learning then that the church is a living thing. It has a life about it. And it's a divine life. It's grace in the soul. It's not the life that you might see in any other sort of society or organization. This life is different. It's from above. And it is eternal. It's by the Spirit of Christ. The Lord comes in power. And He changes men's hearts. And they live in union with Christ. And they desire fellowship with God. They have a hunger and thirst to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now in verse 9, we also have, ye are God's building. But remember the building which God is putting up. It is a temple. A spiritual temple. And as Peter tells us, those who are in that temple, those who belong there, have a place there, they're lively stones, they're living stones. So even this building of God, this temple, it's a living thing. We were singing in Psalm 80. And there we learn of how the Lord planted a vineyard. He set a vine in its place. And God takes care of His vine. And the vine prospers and the vine grows. And that's the church in the world. Extending her branches. Even in time to the ends of the earth. Another figure is the olive tree. And the Jews, the natural branches. And the Gentiles, grafted in by the grace of God. Wild branches. But the Lord had a place for them in His church. This great olive tree. And that's the church. The church which is flourishing by God's grace. And will flourish more and more until the end of time. But we also learn this, both with the vine and with the olive tree, that there may be branches which are lifeless, dead, fruitless branches. And what happens to them? Well, they're cut off, cut out. In the end, if there is no fruit, there's no place for that branch. And that might be an individual who has been brought up in the church. church, had a place there, the visible church. But there's no profession, there's no apparent life, no desire for the Lord. God, in the end, cast that one out, does not continue. And the same may be true of a whole branch of the visible church. And we've seen that in history, we see it in our own day. Churches that were once flourishing, they loved the word of God, they proclaimed the truth as in Jesus. The gospel was at their heart, and the Lord was favoring them. But something came in. There was false doctrine. The worship was changed to please the carnal tastes of men. And in the end, the very gospel itself was lost. And salvation became the work of man. And according to the goodness of man, another gospel which is not another. And churches withered, and churches died, and they became apostate, and the Lord had no place for them anymore. And these are solemn things, and we should take them to heart, and especially concerning ourselves as individuals. Do I belong in the church of God? Do I belong in the body of Christ? Do I have a vital union with Christ by faith? And you need to know that. It's not sufficient to have a place in a pew and to be able to say that you belong to such and such a church, such and such a place. What of Christ? And what of a love for him? A trusting in his redeeming work. An obedience to his word. A faithfulness to his cause. Do these things have a place in your heart and your life? The Lord loves his church. And the Lord takes care of his church in this world. And we should never fear for the church of God, the body of Christ. It's secure. These are God's chosen people, his elect, those for whom Christ died, those he redeemed by his precious blood. And they're not a few. You have the vision in the book of Revelation that was given to John. And what does he see? In terms of the gathering in glory, he sees a great multitude which no man could number. That's at the end of time. That's when the Lord has finished his purpose in the world. Church has been gathered. It's been built up. The Lord's people have been blessed, sanctified. Now they're glorified. And what a company it is. And out of every nation, people, tribe and tongue, they all belong to Christ. He owns them. They delight in him and to be among them. To be living branches and fruitful branches by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The nature of the church, planting, watering, increasing. Church living by God's wonderful grace. Secondly, we have the work of the gospel. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered. Now we read in Acts chapter 18, where we learn something of the origin of the church at Corinth. What a place it was. An idolatrous city. And the people given to wickedness, materialism, sensual pleasures. And yet the Lord had his servant go there. And he went to the Jews and preached in the synagogue. But they opposed him, many of them. And so he then turned to the Gentiles, preached to them. And Paul, in his ministry in Corinth, over several years, was mightily used by God in the conversion of sinners. And we learn of Crispus and his household, and many others who believed, and they were baptized. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 of Gaius and the household of Stephanus. But this was the planting of the church. And here was God's faithful servant, full of zeal. And he came and he did not fear the face of man. He trusted in the Lord to watch over him and keep him. As he ministered the word of God in that place, oh, Paul had a heart for sinners. He thought nothing of his own personal comfort. He might be in danger, but the Lord would look after him. And Paul was used in the planting of many churches. And we can scarcely comprehend his prodigious labors. He never seemed to rest. And he would go anywhere, but anywhere, according to the will of the Lord, if only he had an opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make known the good news of a Savior to those who were in need of God's salvation. Paul planted, but he was followed by another, a preacher named Apollos. Apollos watered. They were both gospel ministers. They were both mighty in the scriptures. They were both learned men and able men and proclaiming the same truths of God. But Apollos was used differently by the Lord from Paul. Paul was used in the conversion of many. Apollos was used in the edification of many. Those who came to a saving knowledge of Christ needed to be built up in the truth and encouraged in the things of the Lord. And Apollos was the man. That was the watering of the church. Often, people may look to a particular preacher. They may be drawn to a particular preacher. And they may have a high estimation of that servant of God and a certain trust in him. And perhaps others, equally faithful, do not receive the same attention. And different men have different gifts. You can see that with Paul and Apollos. in 2 Corinthians, we learn from Paul that while some would acknowledge that his letters were weighty and powerful, he said his bodily presence was weak and his speech contemptible. Was that their judgment of his preaching? That he wasn't very able with words? Perhaps it was. And then we read of Apollos that he was an eloquent man. His speech was very attractive. He had all the words at his command. People loved perhaps to listen to him. But are we to think that Apollos was a better preacher than Paul? Or a more useful man than Paul? It would be wrong to think in that way. They were both the servants of God. They were both used by God. And the same has always been the case. God may have one servant. And that servant is able to bring the word of life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and to reason with souls. And the Lord uses that one in sowing the seed and bringing souls to life in Christ Jesus. And then there's another, and he has different gifts and abilities. And he's a pastor. He's able to deal with all the situations God's people find themselves in, and all the challenges they face, and all the afflictions they have, and the sorrows they bear. And God is using both. And the church needs both. And we pray that the Lord would raise up both today, for the need is great. Think of the others we read of in the Bible. James and John, two of the apostles, they had this nickname, the Sons of Thunder. And it gives us a certain impression of them, their character, and perhaps their ministry. That they boldly declared the gospel of Christ and warned against sin and warned sinners to flee from the wrath to come. And that's the awakening note of the gospel and the piercing note that the Lord may well make use of to bring some to conviction of sin, that they might bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Then we find Barnabas, and he had a nickname too, the Son of Consolation. Different character, different ministry, drawing alongside the Lord's people in all their trials, their sufferings, and weeping with those that weep, and the Lord blessing his ministry for the upbuilding of the saints, for their spiritual comfort in their pilgrimage here. And this is the Lord's wisdom. And he has his servants, and he will send them here and there according to his own will. And much prayer is required by congregations and for congregations when they lack a minister, that it be the man of God's choosing that is sent to them and called by them. One may follow another. One who excels in preaching to the unconverted. And then one who excels in ministering to the saints. This is the work of the gospel. Planting, watering, God's servants engaged in this great work. Who is sufficient for these things? But our sufficiency is of God. Oh, we need the Lord to be in all that we do. And we need the prayers of God's people for all that we do. As we shall see in our third and final point. We've considered the nature of the church. It's a living thing. The life is from the Lord, not from man. We've seen the work of the gospel. And it's at God's direction. It's according to gifts that he gives and grace that he gives. Now, thirdly and finally, the blessing of the Lord. Paul says, God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And friends, we must consider that. And we must understand that. The increase is the growth of the church. Any growth at all. It might be the growth of an individual. It might be the adding of others to the church. Paul and Apollos were godly men. And they were humble men. And that's why Paul writes as he does. They knew that they could not, by any ability they had, convert or bless sinners. But they understood also that the God who is sovereign in the bestowal of his grace is pleased to make use of men in accomplishing his purposes. God created us as men. He recreates us as Christians. God used means in the first of these, our parents. He uses means in the second of these, the preaching of his word. God has arranged it so. And woe unto any who would disregard God's purpose in these things and try to take his place. And you see, that happens in the church. When there's false doctrine, when conversion is made to be an easy thing, when belief in Christ is made to be a very easy thing, as though it's all in the power of man's will, as though it's some choice that we can exercise. Well, we are personally to believe in Christ. No one can believe in Christ for you. Likewise with repentance, you must turn from your sin. But how? We are slaves to sin. And we do not trust in God. We cannot trust in God. Depend upon Jesus Christ as we need to. We need the grace of God. And we must apply for the grace of God. We must go upon our knees. Seek the Lord. But the blessing we require is from above. It's by the Spirit. It's a new birth. It's a quickening within, even as Christ told Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Now think of Nicodemus. He was a member of a church, an upstanding, respected member of the Jewish church. And that's what Christ said to him. You must be born again. And without that, you can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. And so it is with us. Gospel preachers must be humble men, because in the light of Scripture, this is the only understanding we can have, that they are sowers of God's seed. They are distributing the precious seed of gospel truth. They're doing it prayerfully, and that in so many ways is the secret to everything, and certainly to the growth of the church. It's very instructive to read in the Acts of the Apostles the appointment of the first deacons, those who minister mercy and material mercy to believers who are in need of such help from the church. This was something that the apostles had formerly been doing, but that was not really their work. And they instructed the church to choose men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who might be appointed over that business, the work of deacons. Why? Because there was one thing that the apostles were called to do and were to be devoted to. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the order is important. There may be the finest of preaching in terms of ability, eloquence, illustration, and all such things. But if there is no prayer, if there is no going upon our knees and pleading with God, if there is no beseeching of Him to pour out His Spirit, then even the good seed of God's Word will fall to the ground, and it will not take root and live in the hearts of men. Prayer is needed. And in our day, when the cause is low, more prayer is needed. By preachers, ministers of the gospel, and by God's people in general. But God gave the increase. And friends, God always gives the increase, and He gives it even in lean times. We are thankful for that. That there are ones and twos here and there being saved. And that the Lord's people themselves are being blessed. He does not forsake His own. He knows their spiritual need. He knows how to give them a word in season through His servants. God is good. Do you know an increase in your own soul? Is the Lord working in your life? Are you getting light upon His word? Are you seeing how it applies to your circumstances? Is God's word encouraging you? Is God's word comforting you? Take that as from the Lord Himself, even though it may come to you through His servants. It's the Lord's doing. He is giving the increase, and He will do so. His people are strangers and pilgrims in this world. They're making their way to the Jerusalem above, the heavenly city. While they are here, the Lord is with them in the means of grace to prosper them inwardly, to help them, and above all, to conform them to the likeness of Jesus Christ. What a work that is. Sanctifying the soul. How does God do that? Remember the prayer of Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Through the same preaching of the word, whereby they were brought to Christ at the first. That is the sense here. God gave the increase. It's an increase which is ongoing. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God never ceases to be gracious. God never ceases His gracious work in the lives of His people. He's always at work. And we will be the more aware of it, the more we make use of His word, read and preached, the more we visit the throne of grace, the more we are in the company of those of like precious faith. A seed sown and germinating and growing. And many seeds sown and coming to life grow up and produce year after year after year. And there you have an illustration of God's covenant. God's covenant of grace made with His people in Christ and made with them in this way that a blessing is promised to believers and their seed, believers and their offspring. And there's a line of generations, and the Lord calling His people in those lines of the generations of His people. You see that in Israel, and you can see that today. Many of the Lord's people, they can look back to godly parents, godly grandparents, and so on. And that's a great blessing. And to come into this world with the privilege of a godly home and the word of the Lord in our infancy, childhood and youth, that's the foundation for life. Bringing us to the foundation which God has laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Lord is gracious to His people. And He's gracious to them also in this way, when they bring up their children prayerfully to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, they may do so in confidence that the Lord in his time will work so that their children will be added to the number of his believing and professing people. That too is the Lord giving the increase. It's not the one who plants. It's not the one who waters. It's the Lord working by and with and in and through the ministry of the word, his word, preached by his servants. Pray then for the ministry of the word. Seek God's blessing upon the gospel as it goes forth. Pray for yourself that you will be able to receive God's word with meekness, and that the Lord would richly bless it to your own soul, that you would prosper, that God would give the increase spiritually, and by his grace, that you are one of his, that you are growing in grace, that you're flourishing in the courts of his house, and that you're bearing fruit, and one day you will be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the increase we desire, and may God grant it in his time. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, send thy Spirit, we pray, into every heart. May thy word be with power in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. And may thy people prosper through thine own working in their souls. Oh, grant the increase, we pray, for the glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ. Amen.